Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Here, we're never going to try and pretend we're someone or not. I'm Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Cody Narvis, and you can find me on Twitter at CodyBH.
And I'm Emily Sue. You can find me at Shiitake Harry.
I bet there's an underscore in Cody's handle somewhere, but we'll figure that out in the show notes. I guess I should also say not with us today is our campaign manager and super producer Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And if there's one thing I hope you learned from this whole experience, it's that kids is spelled with a Z. Also with us today is a very extremely special guest making her season 4 debut, hot off the heels of episode 50, I believe. Please welcome back to the show, Hannah Borenstein. Hannah, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's great to be back. I feel like I'm back where I belong.
Wow. That makes us feel way too good. And before we get too big of heads of a football shaped and sized mass, we're gonna just scoot along into the episodes at hand. It should be noted we are here today to talk about episode 77 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 17, going by the production code order. And we're gonna start, as we always do, with episode A, and that one is called Helga's Masquerade. Original air date, March 11th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga decides to act like Lila at Rhonda's costume party, so Arnold will like her. Period. And as we always do, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. This time around, it was Frank Weiss in the director's chair, and Michelle Lamoureux and Steve Vixton covered the writing duties. So a classic season 4 crew and a classic Stoop Kids episode crew, if I may say so myself. Let's start with Harry as far as kind of top level thoughts go. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I really like this episode. I think that I really wanted to talk about it right off the bat because we sort of have like a pet theme that's running through each of these seasons. And, or at least, you know, we've sort of been talking about that. And season 4 has been up to this point about sort of like what I would call incremental change, but actual progress and character progression, which is kind of unusual for a serialized show like Hey Arnold, like we've noted. This episode is like maybe the best evidence for that theory yet that we've seen. It kind of starts out the way that a couple of different episodes have started out, right? This is not the first time that we've seen Helga sort of like literally have a masquerade or try to behave as if she's someone she's not in order to get Arnold's attention or something like that. We saw it at the French restaurant. We've seen it a couple of other times. But this time is much more explicit and much more self-conscious on Helga's part. She actually says at one point, "How I long to be more feminine," which is like a real sort of like big quote from this episode. And she explicitly goes to Lila, who is the object of Arnold's obvious affection, to learn from, which already is not something I feel that we would have seen Helga of the earlier seasons do, who used to see Lila as more of a nemesis. Now she's sort of, I mean, to be fair, she sort of has a very mad scientist approach where she pretends she's doing it for self-improvement, but really she's trying to do it to win over Arnold, and she's sort of cackling and scheming in her Arnold shrine. But there is sort of a grain of truth behind that, right? And it's sort of a sad one. I feel like it's not an accident that this episode directly prefigures Helga on the Couch, which is next episode. It just feels like almost a prequel to that episode in many ways, just because it's like Helga has always been the more self-aware and the more precocious and the more mature character. But as the seasons go by, we're really seeing her grapple with the anxiety of coming to understand herself better and better, especially in relation to her peers and especially in relation to Arnold. And in this episode, it sort of culminates in these very sort of almost tragic. I mean, they're played for laughs, but they're sort of like sad instances where Helga tries to behave more sort of socially, in a more socially acceptable manner, and she just can't help herself. And this is like an episode where Helga's personality is so pronounced that it's like an albatross around her neck or something, right? And it all culminates in the big party sequence, which is where I think we see the biggest evolution of Helga as a character, which is she's hanging out with Arnold, and Arnold is paying a lot of attention to her because she's literally dressed up as Lila, which is, you know, pretty awful and pretty sad to think about. But there is a moment, right, where Helga realizes that this is why Arnold is treating her this way, is because she's pretending to be Lila. And she goes into the bathroom and she takes off the costume and she says, I'm tired of being somebody I'm not. And she doesn't, I mean, she basically does come right out and say, like, I want Arnold to like me for who I am instead of being somebody I'm not and getting his affection that way, which is like a major breakthrough for our girl. I feel like up until this point, Helga's sort of been like an ends justifies the means sort of approach to Arnold, right? It's like, I'll be anybody I need to be. This is like, we've seen her sort of coming to terms with being more comfortable with herself throughout the seasons, episode by episode. But this is the first time she kind of draws that line, right? Where it's like, Arnold isn't worth me losing myself, right? Or it's like, it's never going to happen that way, and I don't want it to happen that way. I was huge, I was cheering, and then she has an even greater breakthrough, right? Which is the second breakthrough, where I expected her to come out of that bathroom like swinging, right? Like she was going to be Helga's back, right? Like, okay, move it, football head, one side moron, etc., etc. She doesn't. She like comes out and she like hat in hand is like, well, I look like Helga now, and I'm going to act like Helga. Do you still want to hang out with me? And Arnold's like, absolute doofus that he is in this episode. He's like, no, I'm going to go inside, actually. See ya. And completely lets her down. You deserve better, Helga. But he does, of course, say at the end that he actually kind of likes her sometimes when she's acting normal. So she makes a little bit of progress, which is, again, kind of the over-under on this entire season, is the baby steps forward that we get to see, even in a highly serialized cartoon where everything sort of has to return to the status quo. So I feel like this episode is really like a really notable culmination of a lot of the plot arcs that have been built into this season and these characters. I think it's really notable that Arnold has no progression whatsoever and is still just a big simp and still just a big doofus. But I think that works for me too in this episode because of how it characterizes Helga, sort of in opposition to that, or by juxtaposition. But what did you all think of this episode? Do you think that it did it hit you as well, or did it feel a little bit more iterative to you? Because I feel like it could break either way.
Well, I think first and foremost, I need to keep in mind the phrase notable culmination. I'm going to say that from here on out whenever I instead feel like saying something boring like data point. I'm going to pocket that one.
Well,
I'm
running for office, Cody, so I have to come up with big words. Otherwise,
wow. Hey,
the common
spoilers.
Man will beat me down. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess, hey, politics and butchers, on the note of meeting people, let's re-meet Emily Sui. Emily, what did you think about this episode A?
Yeah, I think this is a wild episode. I agree with what Harry was saying about Helga's self-awareness coming to fruition here, especially when she's at the locker and she's talking about wanting to be more feminine. And I liked you calling that a major breakthrough for our girl. And I was going to note that, yeah, thank God Helga has therapy next week with Helga on the couch, because she is just a mess by the time Arnold calls her Lila. The second time he calls her that later in the night at the big costume party, Rhonda Wellington Lloyd's fancy ass costume party that everyone was invited to or uninvited to. Yeah, I think that a lot of what Harry said was great and kind of covers, you know, the gist of this one. But I really liked, I don't know, the way they wrote Helga copying Lila and her taking that on in a way that just like reiterates that it's not about mimicking someone else's qualities to get someone else to like you or to get, you know, their affection or whatever, because then you're losing yourself in the process and you're losing what makes you unique and interesting and special and So it's not worth it to copy someone else in that way and just to run after love or whatever. But I also think I was thinking a lot about Francesca Marie Smith's like voice actor talent in this episode, because her ability to like pretend to be super nice and sweet to Lila or to whichever characters she's hanging around at school or at the party. She's like pretending to be sweet, but while like you can tell she's gritting her teeth. So she's like playing on multiple layers of emotion and just an incredibly talented child voice actor that we are always giving props to. But yeah, her going, gosh, Lila, thanks ever so much. But like trying so hard to sound nice and just like, yeah, gritting her teeth the whole time in her head, her Helga head or whatever. Also, I don't think we've ever been to Sloshin's ice cream parlor. I'm not sure what it was called, but it's something Schlossen's. I don't know. They had Neapolitan-looking ice cream sundaes that looked incredible, with the strawberry chocolate and the whipped cream. And like, why aren't those a thing in our world, you know? Why is that just got to be a cartoon sundae? It looks so good. We should make that a thing. I don't see that on the menu. You know what I mean? But otherwise, yeah, no, great episode. Just a good lesson all around. I think at the very end, though, when it gets to like Helga being like, wow, so Arnold, you know, does like me. He doesn't like me, but maybe he thinks I'm okay. So I also maybe still have a chance. That's the part where I'm like throwing my hands in the air and I'm like, God damn it. Like, that's not how I want that to be written. I guess I'm not a Arnold and Helga shipper for so many reasons. But so at that point in the episode, I'm just like, God damn it. You know, I don't know. I wish she had just kind of taken that as it is. But we obviously know there's a whole ship story approaching with the two of them that we've got to see through and all the way through the movies. Otherwise, shout out to Gerald's costume at the party, the multicolored patchwork quilt pants and the giant square glasses, and his hair's all done and he looks so good, and he does the voice of reason for Arnold and pulling him aside. So he's just, yeah, he's VIP of the party. And I want to hear what Hannah and Cody, y'all think about this one.
I will defer to Hannah first, just because I'm busy filling out the patent for Sloss Kids Ice Cream Parlor. Emily, the majority of the shares will go to you since you're the originator of that idea just now. Hannah, what'd you think about this episode?
Yeah, I think you both laid things out there, like a lot of the ideas that I was thinking about. I do like love the idea of us kind of bringing up this like conspiracy theory that Hillbrow is like has the highest ice cream parlors per capita now in the continent of the United States or something. I like struggled watching this one, trying to like figure out, actually, I kept asking myself, I'm like, is this a feminist episode or like not a feminist episode, because I think the critique on femininity is like there, but it's interesting because I think it's also and the way that you laid it out, Harry, I haven't been watching with you all, so I haven't been seeing this development and talking about it, but there is something that clearly that they're writing about Helga, so it makes sense. It's so amazing that the Helga on the couch is the next episode, because she's also just like clearly so much smarter than most of the kids around her, and so much more like conscious and kind of in touch with who she is. And I think that really comes through with this question of femininity, because you're not, it's unclear. I think she's kind of working out, I feel like, if she actually wants to be this way, if it's actually going to be it for Arnold, if she actually needs to become this version to like achieve love. And I think that that's like a really real struggle that I feel like we've all faced it at various points in our life, and probably some of us still do. And the sort of like making Arnold into this just like dumb boy, for lack of a better word, who's like so easily swayed in one direction, is one kind of great on the part of the writers to like just make Arnold seem stupid and not kind of be a hero, but also allow Helga to like really figure out for herself if like, I think she grapples with the question of like when she can, if she can be her authentic self in this world. And of course, like, you know, we all want to tell her like, you can just, you're too smart and too good for everyone around you. But it's an interesting experiment, because I think that like, I don't know, I feel like I certainly remember, we can all kind of relate to like being a kid in that way, or being a teenager where we're trying to figure out if being our authentic self is actually possible. And I also think that like, for the time that this episode was made, I think grappling with those questions of kind of like sexuality and femininity was actually like pretty fairly progressive. Like maybe now if that was on TV, we'd be like, you could try a little harder. But like, I think it actually, like for the time, thinking about how really codified like gender norms and heteronormativity was like as a kid, I feel like that actually like was pretty sweet. So it's and then also I think I mentioned the shout out to Helga for dressing up as Lila. I kind of like it because it's like, it's so intense. Is this like OG move of like dressing up as your friend to a party? I also feel like, it's very like dark the way it's kind of set in the episode in a way. And so I appreciated that kind of like eyes wide shut, like they call it a masquerade. The whole, there's like, I feel like there's like a lot of sort of Kubrick things going on that, I mean, maybe I'm projecting, but like, yeah, some references to some intense pieces of art and culture.
Yeah, hey, as long as we're not the ones making the fulfilling the quota of movie references per episode, no, that's that. I mean, that's a very good call out and a really good point. And like on top of all the other great things that y'all have brought forth, the one thing that one of the many things that I came into this episode with that just kind of hit me right off the bat is it's clear as many season 4 episodes have started out, this is one with both Arnold and Lila, and more pointedly it's Arnold with some sort of whether it's he has a crush on Lila, he's in love with Lila, like however they choose to define it for that episode. And this almost felt like an episode that could have and or should have been slotted differently, given I feel, and I'm blanking out on the exact order of the, like one of the most recent episodes we watched, where it was the points made in that episode were very definitive that like, yo, Arnold, Lila is never going to feel the same way about you. And so like coming into this episode, again, probably just like recency bias, but like coming in and they're together and Arnold's, you know, complimenting her. He's going by the same, he's doing this, the same shtick. Himbo Arnold is back and he's better than ever in a bad way. So that was a fascinating flavor to juggle alongside everything else. And I mean, I'm not going to try to recharacterize, kind of what y'all, Marty brought up, because I think you did a really good job. And this is one of, I think, a few different episodes where, I mean, again, especially in recent seasons, where Helga is trying to kind of take the next step to really get Arnold to see her in the way that she wants to be seen, or she, like, by everybody or just by Arnold. She's trying to find the most direct path there. And it was funny because this another semi-recent episode where Phoebe skips ahead a grade and Helga is looking for a new sidekick, she almost picks Lila. It's almost as if the season 4 crew was just like, yo, but like, what if she actually did like sync up with Lila for an episode? What would that look like? And it feels like this is kind of what that would look like. And that was, I don't know, fascinating in its own right. And the sort of question of, you know, that inner dialogue we all have with ourselves and each other, of just, you know, oh, like how could I be better? How could I be more feminine? How could I be a better athlete? Oh, I could just like, oh, I just need to be a better athlete and then I can be a better athlete, or I could just be better, or I could be more feminine. Just like that, the sort of conversations that Helga's having with Lila, it's just like, well, how do I do what you do? It's just like, I don't know. You just gotta be genuine and true to yourself and not be a piece of crud person. It's like, huh, that's fascinating. And so I don't know. And that, right, it was, frustrating to watch this, but like in again in a good way, because it's clear Helga's going through the cycles and trying to find something that sticks in a way that is reveals itself differently to her, and also reveals itself differently as a completely different story and episode to us, the audience, and seeing, you know, Helga land upon probably the appropriate conclusion by the end of that made for a wholesome arc in its own right. Does that sound fair to you, Harry?
Yes and no, right? Like, I think that was the takeaway I had as well, and I felt very positively about this. But what Hannah and Emily were saying, shout outs to the to the women, by the way, who can maybe actually like parse this a little bit more thoroughly. Emily, for instance, shouting out something that is completely obvious that maybe in my love of the show I kind of overlook, which is that like the good thing or the best eventuality for Helga would be if she got over Arnold the way that she feels about him right now, right? It's like, it's very hard to admit that to ourselves because then the show would be over, right? And we would lose so much about Helga that we love and stuff. But like, this show or this episode, it almost rubs up against the sort of like existential tension of Hey Arnold as a show, which is that like fundamentally Helga's dysfunctions are what make her interesting in the purview of the show in part, but also like they're bad, right? It's like, if we're rooting for Helga, we don't want her to end up with Arnold. We want her to get over needing to like it, to the point where like in this episode and in the following episode, Helga on the couch, Arnold is symbolic, right? Like she repeatedly alludes to how Arnold could be who she could have if she were better. Right. That's almost what it's all about, is that Arnold like symbolizes this abandonment that Helga feels about herself, in as much as he represents this sort of like great thing that she wants to protect, which is always sort of how I've perceived it and the more positive way to perceive it. But I really like that. And to Hannah's point, this episode like really goes there. Right. Like, I think that like I wrote in my notes, maybe too harshly, but I was like, at a certain point, this feels like it, like Helga is antisocial the episode, right? Where it's like, there are parts of this episode where she does things that are like so out of tune with what is obviously the social norm. And she needs to go to Lila and be like, hey, like, can you teach me how to act like a normal person? And eventually she shows up at this party, like dressed as Lila. And Hannah was so right. Like, it's almost played as like a horror sting moment, right? Where it's like, oh no, like, Helga, what's going on, girl? Like, you are, this is not what anybody wanted for you for this right now. And so like it's tough. I think that Hannah, your sort of discussion on whether or not it's a feminist episode is really fascinating, right? Because it like, it sort of refuses to come to a conclusion that would make us satisfied, right? Because at the end of the episode, she does still want to be, with Arnold, and she still does see Arnold's approval as like the ultimate end all be all. And that is a problem, but it's also like sadly kind of realistic. And I'm not trying to like throw the show too much of a bone, but there is something nice to me about refusing to sort of settle in an altogether comfortable place. And that characterizes a lot of the sort of melancholy undergirding Hey Arnold that I like so much, right? Where it's like, there's almost something realistic about, especially the age that these kids are, this just sort of having to live in an unresolved, sad place, right? Like, so much about Helga's life is really like, it gets better, right? It's like, Helga, eventually the rest of the kids will catch up to you, hopefully, maybe, right? Like, you're a little bit too smart for all of them right now, and you're a little bit too mature, much like Lila is too. We can maybe talk about that too. They're really interesting foils in this episode, but maybe they will. Like, maybe these problems will resolve themselves. Maybe the kids will be all right, right? And so there's something really interesting about this happening. And it's really fascinating that both you and Emily, like, latched onto that, because it makes a lot of sense to me now.
Yeah, I really liked all of what you were saying and all of what all of you are saying. I think Helga's the antisocial thing in this episode that you're talking about, Hannah, is like a, it's like scare tactic perspective or whatever. It's a like horror movie. I think is such a good point, because Helga's struggling so much with her own personality and herself and what she wants to project to her classmates and what she wants to just like have internally as a secret, or just between her and Phoebe, or just between her and her shrine. But she like clearly has a lot of like antisocial stuff and just obsessions to work out that she takes to these like extreme extents, like creepy extents, like dressing up as fully Lila as the object of Arnold's affection, just and the shrine and everything, and stalking him. I mean, she like takes all of that to an extreme, but I think because, and I'm not trying to justify it, I'm trying to understand it, because she sees herself in some way, or through Arnold and through his kindness, or the way he treats her with kindness is like something she just desperately needs and is lacking in at home. And we see all of that in the series, but yeah, it's a good point about like kind of, I don't know, putting an exclamation point in this episode on how unhealthy all of that obsessing and like antisocial tendencies have become for her, that it's like this horror scene of, oh my God, Helga, what are you doing? Why are you dressed as Lila at the like fun kind of Halloween costume party? Like, what's going on? Yeah. And I do think that this is probably pretty forward thinking for its time as far as femininity goes. I can never say femininity, but
you got it.
Yeah, I think Helga's definitely characterized as a tomboy, but they make that complex with her wearing pink and the bows. And but so her kind of playing into, well, if I was a little more feminine in the way I act, does that make my crush like me, my obsession like me or not? But yeah, the ending, Harry, as you're pointing out, is like where it's ultimately not quite sure of what it wants to say about that, I think. But as far as the time goes, I agree with Hannah that it's probably pretty forward thinking then for the 90s.
Yeah. Although, hey, we were 3 months into the year 2000 when this came out. This is an entirely new era, right? Y2K or something.
That's crazy to think about. I completely forgot that we crossed over into the 2000s at some point during the show. Oh, man, I'm so old. This is crazy.
Whatever. You're barely... I won't yeah, dox you on the air.
I really liked what you had said about the ending, Emily, and also just like there's something, and I talked about this a little bit, but there's just something really interesting about the show, sort of like, I mean, and I don't want to overstate, right? Like, I think that this episode mostly just works in isolation. I don't think that it needs to be interpreted in this highly meta way, but it does kind of feel like a show that's increasingly grappling with its own premise a little bit, right? Where it's like, okay, like, and obviously like a lot of this reading is informed by Helga on the Couch, which is like really going to get into that stuff. But like even here, I find it really refreshing that they are questioning sort of like, they're questioning the sort of like validity of what they're doing, or the sort of like the way that they had been portraying it up to this point. And they're sort of refusing to come to any easy answers about that. Even though we as viewers might even want them to, right? Like there's almost a point in this episode where we want to return to an easier status quo. And it just doesn't happen because that's not the kind of episode we get this time, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And this is like just a brief kind of, I was thinking about the moment where Helga like learns how to be well-liked by engaging Rhonda's like stupid question about what kind of like sandwiches or whatever she like is going to have at the party, which is like also very classist and strange, but it helps you actually see like through how, like, it's like, oh, I can learn how to play this game and like conform to the status quo. And it is, I can curse on this podcast because I think Emily just did. Like, it is fucking dumb. Like who gives a shit? Like, what shapes like sandwiches? But it's like, oh, that's what actually gets you like entry into this kind of like non-critical like world where we don't actually like question gender norms or question like why we like the people that we like. It's like, oh yeah, I can like learn how to ask these questions. So I agree. Like her, the ending's like not redemptive, but I think the critique is because it also like somewhat recognizes that this is like, you can learn how to play this game and like, it's a stupid game to play, but a lot of people are still playing it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that sort of brings me to my like last big question about this episode, which is one that I think is pretty open-ended even within the show itself, which is to what extent do we think that Lila is aware that she is playing the game also? Because like I really like interpreted her performance in this episode as a performance. Like I, to the point where like when she was instructing Helga, that was sort of evidence of her own self-consciousness, right? Where she was like, listen, Helga, like I'm going to teach you how I got to be so popular and well-liked by boys because I'm also playing this game all the time. And that is a really incisive and interesting sort of feminist idea in and of itself on top of everything else this episode is doing. What did you all think of that?
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And I can't remember because I haven't been watching them sequentially. But there is definitely an episode where it goes into Lila's backstory. And like she actually has like a – she comes from like a working class or like pretty poor background. And not to be like ultra class reductionist here. But like I do think that's a really interesting point. And it's like, has Lila also learned how to sort of embody this like ideal femininity to fit in because she actually comes from this poor background? Is a really interesting question. So like, I appreciate you posing it because it's not totally clear, but it is like, it's an interesting one. And the way that she's like willing to be like, yeah, I'll teach you how to be nice, I guess. There's some modicum of kind of, I don't know what kind of solidarity, but there's like something interesting going on there that I appreciate you posing. I'm curious if what others have to say about it.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just thinking of this now and it's come up how, I mean, everything all comes back to a sort of status quo at the, you know, once the credits roll. Was there not a previous episode where Helga more or less revealed to Lila that she has a crush on Arnold? Like
because Lila knows. She was like, right. Is there something you want to tell me, Helga? She like literally right. sort of confronts her with it.
Right. And so whether or not it's the truth for like this particular episode or just show canon in general, I do think there's a very pointed extent to which both Lila and Helga have conscious and unconscious like willingness and flair for this, you know, quote unquote game and how that transcends different, I mean, not just kind of this bubble that we're talking about here, but like the game of like breaking through to people. It took Rhonda a whole episode to learn how to be properly like upper class, and it took Helga all of 10 seconds. There's a lot of that on display here. I think for sure. Lila's sort of a dark horse candidate for MVP of this particular game, maybe. Though that's maybe not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. Also, her background and everything leaning into her crush on Arnie, the weird cousin, which Cody were bringing up that episode, like the episode which we just had the right before this episode. That was last week's episode with skipping Thanksgiving, whatever. But so in the series order, at least the way we're going, Arnold just learned from Lila very, very clearly, multiple times, over and over in the Weird Cousin episode, that Lila does not feel any type of way towards him. It is just friends. She reiterates it so many times. She's even like, don't put your hand on my shoulder. Like, dude, again, we are just homies, and that is it. And so, I don't know. Also, I just was thinking of that because Hannah brought up Lila's background that we see briefly in the previous episode when we're introduced to the new girl, Miss Perfect, also, which they do call back in this episode where Helga's at the locker having the self-aware discussion with herself. But what was I going to say? I just like that question. And I think it's a good thing to think about with how the show approaches femininity through the different characters.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I honestly, this conversation, this episode more or less solidify for me for the rest of this season and probably the rest of this series, like the extent to which Helga and Arnold and Lila, and I mean, honestly, all the other characters, as we sort of, not to get like all fatalist here, but just, but as we approach the, like the closing sort of acts of this series, like what are the sorts of things that work as far as moves being taken in the game within the scope of one episode versus the predetermined path of the entire series? Because I mean, spoilers, the show is honing in on a specific conclusion for Helga and Arnold that we just talked about, which collectively we maybe agree with is not potentially the best conclusion for Helga's emotional and mental well-being. But that's a whole big discussion that we'll chip at in pieces, I'm sure, over the next several weeks and months still. So stay tuned. But that is sort of my last thought. Anybody else have lingering thoughts or shout outs for this episode?
I would just like to point out that, like, we've talked about this throughout the series, I think, but I think that discussions like this really highlight just how sharp the writing in Hey Arnold with regard to the differences between boys and girls at this particular age is. I just really, really think that's amazing. Like, I think that they do such a good job of demonstrating that, like, there are all of these games and sort of like performances and sort of self-conscious, like, trials happening all around them. And Arnold just does not know any of this is going on, right? Like, he's barely possessed of self-consciousness at this age, which, like, I remember being a fourth grade boy and, like, absolutely, that's true, right? But I really like this idea that, like, this is it's a show that's sort of grappling with the fundamental inequalities of maturity and what that can look like. And I think that that's a really good sort of, like, in and of itself, an interesting commentary on gender roles, right? Just even just this idea that, like, listen, like, women have to learn to perform at a much earlier age than men do. And hey, like, that ends up affecting a whole lot of things about the way that society works, the way that men and women relate to one another, the way that women develop and mature. And it's like, that's a crazy thing to think about. And this is a show that's, like, actively interested in that. And I think that there's something really fascinating about that.
Fucking society, man. I was just going to do my final shout outs, but I loved that conclusion, Harry. I wanted to say butter. I thought you said utter. I just wanted to say that. And then also the line with Chinese takeout. I thought you said we were going to make out. That part alone was, like, ringing in my brain from when I was a kid, seeing this, like, with my eyes wide as saucers. Like, what did she just say? What did she say about Big Bob and Miriam? I can't believe it. You could hear a pin drop when she says that story to the crowd. Also, shout out to the Good Food Store. Good Food the Store. Take your vitamins and come again is what it says on the door. Just really good. And yeah, shout out to y'all, I suppose.
Wow, good food. Yeah, and good pod. For sure. I think this feels like an opportune moment for a break until Harry raised his hand. Harry, what do you got?
Oh, I just have one last final shout out, which is my favorite visual gag of this episode, which is that when Helga's in her shrine doing her mad scientist thing, monologuing about how she's going to win Arnold's heart by dressing up like Lila. The whole time she's doing that, there's a box directly next to her that says things for the next Arnold shrine. So she's like planning ahead. It's so good. And also so, like, everything that we've just been talking about, especially with Emily, and, like, kind of a little bit the show poking fun at the fact that, like, oh, it's going to keep happening. Like, listen, this is going to go on and on and on. She's already got the next shrine planned and conceptualized. So that was very funny.
Yeah, good call. That was very funny. And while we're thinking about it, I've got opera tickets for later in the week. I want to go and make sure I can find my foam finger that says number one on it so I can have that with me in the, you know, the balcony, whatever they call seats at the opera. It's my first time, so sit tight, don't touch that dial, and we'll be right back after the break. back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 77B up next here, and that episode is called Mr. Green Runs. Original air date, March 11th, 2000. Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary for this one is as follows. Mr. Green runs for city council after his requests for a large pothole in front of his store be filled up, get ignored. I tripped over that, much like I would trip over a pothole. Arnold becomes his campaign manager, but can a butcher win against a politician? Remains to be seen. We'll find out. But first, once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed this one. Joseph Purdy wrote this one. I'm going to double check my notes to make sure that that's accurate. We'll come back to me. But first, I'm going to pivot to Emily. Emily, what did you think about this episode B?
Man, I love when Mr. Green runs. Boy, does he really, really run. I think this episode's super funny. I really like it. I think it starts out funny and it just keeps on going. And it also touches on a lot of good, you can change your community type of messages, and you can be the change you want to see in the world. And just get into politics, you know, all of those messages that we all abide by. But yeah, no, I think it's super funny. I like when we're in the butcher shop with Arnold at the very beginning, and we hear the loudest scream of Grandpa screaming and him flying straight into like the most giant pothole of all time. That's so comically cartoon sized. It's like the entire block is the pothole. I just thought that was hilarious and a great way to kick it off. And we have like John O'Hurley, the actor, is Councilman Gladhand, and doing such a great job of like being this villainous politician, but he just wants everyone to like him, and he's also so pathetic and so politician-y that he's funny too. And I just wrote down all of my favorite funny moments, I guess. I think the messages are good, but I'll just keep going with what's funny. The public worker that comes up and they're like fixing the pothole. Fixing in quotes, they're just putting a wooden board over the pothole, which is clearly not going to do the job because, again, it's the size of the entire block. but so he puts it down, he gets back in the truck, and Mr. Green or whoever is like, what in the hell? What is this? This is not fixing the problem. And the public works worker is like a fast slur of words, and he's like, yeah, pretty good board. You know, the councilman says stick a board in, and you know, the job's done. But I can't do it like he does it, and it's really good. So, you know, just watch the episode for that particular moment. But I think what's so funny, too, about it is just Mr. Green saying all these butchery metaphors to talk about city change and community, like, engagement. And here's the things we can fix if we work together, and let's fix, for instance, potholes and other stuff. You know, they don't really touch on the other stuff. It's just like the pothole is this big, symbol for them of what we could change and what's wrong and what they're not doing right currently, politically in this city of Hillwood. But yeah, so really funny stuff by Mr. Green, him saying stuff like rotten, stinking piece of beef and pulling out the, like, it's supposed to be a map, or it's supposed to look like a map, but it's a piece of meat butchered. Cut or whatever with all the slices on it. He's got the green piece suit someone mentioned in the watch party. I like that note. But yeah, he leans into what he knows best, which is lean meats and butcher talk and all of that. And we love him for it. We love hearing it. It's also really funny. And the way they show voting is super funny with the like life-size cutouts of the politicians in their cartooniest form. They look so good, and all you have to do to vote is you just pull the lever of their hand down, and then you've cast your ballot for whichever one of the two candidates you wanted, and you get a balloon on your way out, and it looks so idyllic. Like, I want to vote like that. I know all of us do. Maybe that's the change we need to see in our own community, is bringing that momentum forward to the polls and making it more fun to be there. But yeah, I want to hear what y'all think.
Yeah, I also want to hear what everybody else has to think. And Joseph Priddy did write this one. I'm just not used to seeing him around so often. I feel like before season four, it was just like few and far between the episodes that get Priddy credits. But Sturdy Priddy, they call him these days. And Mackin is packing with takes, so I've heard. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah. Thank you,
Cody. You're welcome.
I think this is a really funny episode in the sense that it's like, what a perfect 1-2 punch of Hey Arnold this is, right? Where it's like, okay, and like it, like episode A, we get to talk about like coming of age and burgeoning identity and understanding your self-worth and your reflection on yourself relative to the people around you. And then episode B is like, now we're going to talk really, really specifically about direct community action and local politics. It's funny, like, we don't want to constrain Hannah, of course. Hannah, you can come on any episode you like, but this is kind of a perfect one for you to be on after writing your article for Slate on Hey Arnold and communism and how it taught us all to sort of understand our neighborhoods and our civic duties. So really funny that this is so mask off for Hey Arnold, right? It feels like it finally got, like, they got to season four and they're like, you know, I think we're just going to straight up talk about politics. And we're not going to, like, sort of be euphemistic in terms of like the gentrifying that we talked about in the last episode that Hannah was on or anything else. Like, and they do this in the movie as well, obviously, but I really like this. I thought that casting John O'Hurley hot off of his Seinfeld run was such a stroke of brilliance. Like, it's just such a great shorthand. Like, first of all, his name is Gladhand, which is so funny. And he just like brings so much to this role. It's so great that like we immediately recognize this caricature even as children, right? And I found the pothole to be a really good metaphor as well. I really liked Mr. Green's mad as hell and not going to take it anymore moment where he like literally goes out on the street and everybody gathers around him. I think he literally says mad as heck because this is a children's show and they can't say the other thing. But I really like that. I love the sort of like historical materialism that comes with their like repeated references to Mr. Green having to sort of like equate everything into the working man's language, right? Like, he has to go back to his roots and talk about he has to bring everything back to meat, and that is like so concrete for people and so understandable in opposition to Mr. Gladhand, almost to the point where it felt a little bit overdone, where I was like, oh, like maybe Mr. Green is sort of learning the actual unfortunate message of politics, or one of the darker messages that, oh, like having a really strong brand is really good for you. Because like he ultimately ends up with this like this brand that is sort of like, okay, like at a certain point, the meat metaphors are not really like what we need. Like, you could just talk about the pothole. You don't need to sort of make it a prime cut conversation. But I understand what they're doing there. And it all culminates in a really great moment where everybody cheers for Arnold. Arnold's sort of youthful enthusiasm and optimism wins the day, right? Which even that is sort of it's a really funny contrast to the last episode's conclusion, right? And it's sort of like almost a sad inadvertent commentary on the series itself, where it's like Helga's victories are always going to be these sort of sad, melancholic, like, okay, Helga's got a lot of work to do. She clearly still has issues with herself, but like maybe she's done something today that is ultimately going to. And in this one, everybody's literally cheering Arnold's name at the end of this. They're like, well, the kid done did it again, right? It's like his useful naivete and enthusiasm has truly won the day against all forms of cynicism. And it's like, oh man, it's just like a tale of two episodes of a tale of two cartoons, I guess. But all of those things work really well for me. I love hearing Hurley go Lorraine and then fall into the pothole at the end of the episode. Really perfect note to end on. So yeah, I think a simpler episode certainly than the last episode we talked about, but no less like fundamentally Hey Arnold and with a lot of really good stuff going on in it. And shout outs to Mr. Green. I also love when Mr. Green runs. You're so right, Emily.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I'm very curious to hear that Harry didn't like all the meat wordplay. It's, I guess it turns out he has beef with Mr. Purdy. Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
Oh, man. Yeah, so many thoughts. I love so many of the takes that you guys started us off with. This episode is so great. First of all, I love the fact that, like, Arnold can, like, figure out how to run a campaign just as well as any other campaign manager, but he, like, cannot tell that, like, Helga is just, like, being Lila, and, like, that's why he's falling for her. Like, he has no ability. like his social skills compared to, like, his campaign skills are ridiculous, but also his campaign skills are just as good as any other campaign manager. And I think what's so interesting about this episode is that it really, like, plays into sort of, I think, ultimately, how just easily, like, swayed a populace can be. Even though it's, like, I get it. You know, obviously, it's, like, we all see the, like, corporate politician who's in it for the money. And, you know, the sort of career politician that we're obviously supposed to be skeptical of. He's not part of the neighborhood, etc. But Mr. Green, like, doesn't actually have policy plans. And I think one of my favorite moments in, and he's obviously a better candidate, but it's like, does he really, like, know what to do to fix the potholes? Like, I mean, he's passionate about it, but, like, who's he going to call? Like, what, like, has he ever, like, he doesn't know what he's doing either. And one of my favorite moments in the episode is actually, like, in the debate when Gladhand is like, he's just talking about meat because he's actually correct. Because Mr. Green actually, like, a lot of his meat, like, analogies don't even make sense. And you're just kind of like, but everyone, like, boos him, which is, I mean, what a raucous debate. I mean, I wish, like, local politics were actually this enlivened. But, like, they're booing him. And then he, like, changes and starts talking about meat when he stops using the, quote, big words. And it's like, then they all start cheering him. And it's just, in the year 2022, what a prescient episode. I mean, like, if there is nothing to categorize, like, how easily people can think that the politician that is posturing to be something is really going to be working for their interests, it's quite fascinating. Obviously, Mr. Green is kind of homegrown. But I am sort of left wondering at the end, like, what happens next? Like, you win the election. Does the pothole actually get filled? So I thought it was great. And I do love this voting machine that Emily called out, this where you basically have to shake the politician's hand and, like, yank it down. And it just really makes you wonder, like, how people would vote if they actually had to engage with a likeness of the person that they were going to elect into office. So, yeah, I thought it was fascinating. I like that it kind of plays on a trope where you're really supposed to get on board with your community, like, congressperson, but then you kind of realize that they also, like, they're probably the better option, but they don't really know what they're doing.
Totally. And I think that's a fun spin to put on this episode, which, if anything else, I mean, on top of everything else, is, you know, one of those where we see a side character ascend into a new situation. They find a new lucrative career. You know, they become a country singer, whatever the case might be. And then they sort of, in most cases, either descend or kind of take a step back on their own terms. They're standing by their morals. You know, they don't want their soul and, you know, will to be compromised. It is just, you know, as it's been pointed out, it's just that this one, you know, Mr. Green gets what he wants at the end as well, which, you know, like, optimism wins out the day, I think, as Harry said, which is pretty cool to have sometimes, and makes this a telling, you know, chaser to episode A's shot, perhaps. I'm not upset by that. And I think this, this particular tale gets, certainly, I mean, it would be a great thing to watch anyway, because it's an episode of Hey Arnold, and, you know, we love this show. But the fact that, and I'll cite him again, the fact that, you know, John O'Hurley is cast as the opposing, you know, politician, and he can play into that slimy, skeezy, caricature, you know, get all those capture all of those stereotypes within exclusively a vocal performance, and then couple that with other exaggerations, like the fact that the pothole is humongous and we spend 90 seconds seeing the fallout of what happens when a car goes into that pothole, you know, all heck breaks loose on the block and we're all, it's a whole big spectacle. The fact that you have the exaggerations playing into it, and this, the fact that this is like a kid's show is an important reminder. And I felt myself thinking about that. And I'm certain I watched this episode, as a kid. I don't have it in, my conscious memory as much as some of the other episodes that we've talked about in the past and have yet to talk about. But if anything else, this sort of portrayal of, you know, base level, you know, this is a caricature of what, you know, somebody you don't want overseeing your local interests is like. This is, your local butcher who has fun, witticisms and fun framing devices, for these things that are ultimately good, and somewhat more constructive ideals, and get closer to the heart of the problem. And, you know, he uses real words that you can understand and actually more mean something. And that probably meant more to me watching this as a kid, and what probably means more to kids watching you can respond to those exaggerations and know what this episode is trying to say. So even if there are some corners cut or some of it is very ham-fisted or you know it's you know not subtle at all, that's never really a bad thing, I think. And as is the case for I think pretty much everybody else here, this episode was it all came together in a way that really worked for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm wondering now, and like I don't want to sort of I'm not trying to give the show not enough credit here, but like I think we've talked before about how some episodes feel like they are written from the point of view of a child and sort of with a child's understanding of the world, and some don't, right? There's a sort of like, I think that this A and B illustrates the sort of like existential inequality that's happening in Hey Arnold really well, where it's like, hey, who gets to be kids? Who gets to have child adventures and who doesn't, right? And like, it turns out that when episodes center on Arnold, everything works out in this very charmed way that almost starts to feel a little bit suspect, right? Especially four seasons in, whereas everything feels a lot more real and a lot more dire when we're following Helga. And so you almost got to wonder if like the reason why this episode comes across as so straight over the plate is because we're seeing it from Arnold's perspective, right? And like maybe this is Arnold's perception of politics. And you know, again, and like this sounds like I'm sort of like really taking the ball and running with it, but you almost wonder if Purdy inserted that the sort of like over the top meat metaphors and sort of branding of Mr. Green to be a little bit winking about it, right? To be a little bit like, hey, like this is not actually a better candidate, or like this guy is doing exactly what Gladhand did originally, just with a different sort of flavor. And so he's kind of having his cake and eating it too, in a like a little bit of a sense, right? Because it's like, here we've got a show that is ultimately optimistic, that I believe does genuinely want you to believe, as Arnold believes, that you can make a difference in local politics if you believe in the system and if you believe in the people that are like trying, right? But in very typical Hey Arnold fashion, it like will not sort of like back away from some of the irony inherent in their messaging either, right? Especially coming off the heels of Helga's Masquerade, it's sort of like, well, guys, we just did a really dark sort of like thorny episode. Now we're going to do one that is like almost wildly straightforward. And I wonder, like, you know, I sort of wonder if it's like, if we're not supposed to not take that totally at face value, right? If we're supposed to be a little bit like, oh, like, I get it. This is what Arnold's world looks like to him. And maybe that's not quite, maybe when Arnold grows up a little bit and learns a little bit more, he'll start to see things a little bit differently. I alternately, not to sort of like play backseat director, but like it would have been really funny if like we watched Helga and Phoebe like running around in the background writing policy points for Mr. Green, right? And sort of like slipping them to him or something. Because that's the other thing that happens in Hey Arnold, right? Is that Arnold has the dream and then Helga just sort of makes it happen. along with Phoebe. And so like I could totally see that happening too. But I think even without that, this is a really interesting episode that maybe has more than you'd think, sort of simmering under the surface in some funny ways.
Yes, I love all of that. I really like thinking of these two episodes as the Helga perspective, Arnold perspective, and the realism versus the idealism. Because especially I was thinking about Arnold's scene where he's trying to hype up Mr. Green, who's like just down on himself in the middle of the campaign speech behind the curtain. They're back there, and Arnold's like, or Mr. Green saying, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this other Trump knows what he's doing. He knows how to talk to the people. And Arnold's going, you know a lot of stuff. What are you talking about? And like, he actually gets kind of feisty for a second, which you don't see really ever in the series, hardly. So I like that one little moment of him, but it's like so clear. That's his optimism, his like overwhelming youth, this youthful optimism you're talking about. That's like shining through and carrying forward this like straightforward win in the episode, because Arnold sees Mr. Green just as an adult who knows all these things that he doesn't know. And so he looks up to any of the adults in their own ways. And well, they know X, Y, Z, just like a kid does with anyone. You know, you think, oh, my parents or grandparents or these people, the neighbors, they all know all these things. And I'm not there yet. I'm, you know, little. Someday maybe I'll get there, but not yet. They know what's going on. But so we really see Arnold's perspective in that way. And I just thought that was funny, a funny moment with him. But also, I want to point out, and no one has to talk on this at all, but just the fact that they're saying vote green in this episode is pretty ahead of its time, right? Like, we're talking the green movement before that even got going in 2000, man, Purdy was on something with this one.
Yeah, I love that, Emily. Also, you pointed out something that now feels really obvious and relates to what Hannah was saying earlier, but it is so infuriating that in this episode, the way that Arnold, in his sort of like reverie about what's going on, wins the day is by teaching Mr. Green to be himself. Right? He's literally like, Mr. Green, if you're just yourself, everyone will like you and you'll win. And it's like, Arnold, where was that last episode, my man? Like, come on. And so it is really funny. Like Hannah pointed out, it's like he just has this like wild blind spot when it comes to Helga. And at this point, we're just like that. Even the episodes and the way they're arranged are almost seemingly pointing and making fun of it.
Couldn't agree more. Arnold, again, he's reached peak himbo status multiple times. This episode is no exception to that trend, for better and for worse. Mostly for better, but also mostly for worse. I can't decide. We'll leave that to a future debate. Any other lingering thoughts, threads, shout outs? I do want to say to your point, Harry, you know, I'm all for the subjective perspective or seeing the episode from a different point of view. Listeners, tune into our previous episode about Weird Cousin. You will get the most extreme version of that thing. Yeah, that's all I had on that. Hannah, what you got?
I have to go listen to that, because I think that's a really brilliant point, this like idea of perspective through Arnold's eyes and the contrast with Helga. I think that's great. I just had some shout outs. I like everyone's points and analysis. Of course, there's in the Congress, in Gladhan's office, the portrait of him in the back with like the hat, that's just how I read it, as like he's like sort of like adventuring in some capacity. Like he's like this, like, I'm not a politician. Here I am, like on a fishing trip maybe, but I'm sitting for a portrait. That really gave me a chuckle. And then as he's kind of leaving and he goes to like not pay attention to what they have to say, and his secretary or whatever is like handing him a tennis racket, he has the bag that says, I think, Daddy-O's, which is like presumably the name of his tennis club or whatever. Really was into that. I also love the way that the public worker, when he, like Emily was talking about, throws that plank of wood over and like slurs, like he's just like, I'm just doing my job, man, like leave me alone. And I kind of like love that self-critique. It's like, I don't have the resources or decisions, but that kind of like forward face of public service is never actually the person like making those decisions. And I thought that was like really smart. And then he's just the Glad Hands white stretch limo, which is like so extra, but it's just so hilarious for some reason. There were so many sort of aesthetic choices that like really hammer home the fact that corporate politicians are not your friend, but in ways that I also found very like charming.
Yes, glad you shout out Daddy-O's for sure. That was a big moment in our watch party. Also shout out to Harry for saying A Tale of Two Cartoons, because I'm going to think of that every time we have the A and B and thinking about how they are different or similar or whatever. Also shout out to Grandpa at the very end of the episode for not trusting Mr. Green anymore now that he's a politician, standing by his Phil ways. Shout out to Cody for all the good meat references throughout this episode. And then one last shout out is to Craig Bartlett's like cartoon caricature, he's a neighbor up above in the apartment building and he leans out. It's like he's Nocturnal Ned or whatever, that the DJ, but actually it's just Craig, you know, and he's shouting out from the rooftop. Yeah. Go, Mr. Green. Run, run, run.
Yeah, I had one last shout out, which is that Hannah pointed out during our watch party that Phil does drive the Packard into this pothole like no less than four times in this episode. And she's like, well, like, obviously there is a problem. The pothole is there. But at a certain point, it's like, Phil, what's going on, man? Like, what, over and over again? I mean, to be fair, it's like a crater sized pothole. But still, like, maybe just take a different street or something at that point, Phil, or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Not to victim blame or anything, but Phil, it is a huge pothole. It's so big. Like it's a bigger, like people have fallen into that pothole and died. It's so big. It's such a big pothole. But hey, we're all okay. The pothole will get filled eventually. There's a metaphor in there somewhere. Cautious, hopeful optimism. Hannah, thank you so much again for being here today. If you wouldn't mind, you know, letting folks know what you got going, you know, if there's anything you want to plug, or if you feel like letting people know where they can find you online, now would be the time to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm officially a doctor now. I think that changed from the last podcast. So, like, I'm positioning myself as a scholar of the 90s and Hammerl in particular. But I tweet intermittently at hbornstein23, and I have a website, hannahbornstein.com, where you can get links to all the things I've written, most notably my Slate article about this wonderful show, which brought me to all of you. So thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure. Just so fun to just get deep in the weeds with Hey Arnold. And I got to go catch up on the Weird Cousin episode. I'm excited to go back and listen.
Yeah, and we will be curious to hear what side of things you find yourself, you know, where you lie. Not to be too cryptic, but yeah, so that's, no, we appreciate you a whole bunch, Doc. Dr. Hannah, that's, I don't call too many people doctor, so this will take some getting used to. But in the meantime, though, for all those listening, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvis, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me at Shiitake Harry. And remember, it's Cody_BH.
Nice. I can't do that one. But thank you, Hannah, for joining us again. Thank you, Mr. Green, for running. Thank you, Schlossen's Ice Cream. Find us there today. And I've been Emily Sue. You can find me at Shiitake Harry.
So long, Daddy-O's.